For some time past, James Haggard, superintendent of the Golconda Mine, has been making vain attempts to apprehend a very clever thief, or group of thieves, who've been smuggling diamonds from the mine. As the scene opens, we find Haggard in his office, in conference with Rana.
But Rana, all we know is that the diamonds are being smuggled. My best men have been working on the case, and they have failed.
I appreciate your confidence.
This thing has me completely baffled. The only part of the mine where I think the theft might be possible is in the room where the stones are washed from the blue clay.
Who works in that room?
Now, let me see. There's Higgins, Wingate, Jepson, Grant.
Roger Grant?
Yes, do you know him?
Isn't he that good-looking young Englishman who is so silent and retiring?
Yes, that's Grant, all right. Been with us 3 years. His time is almost up.
I believe he met with an accident some time ago.
Yes. He got pretty badly clawed up by a leopard.
I think it might be well to place Mr. Grant under observation.
Well, all I am looking for is results. The case is entirely in your hands.
But this man is different from the others. It may not be so easy to gain his confidence.
It should be easy for a woman of your charms to gain any man's confidence.
Thank you. But how much am I to receive if I succeed?
I thought you'd mention that. Now, you've been wanting to get away from this camp and go back to England, haven't you?
It is the one desire of my life.
Very well. Here in this safe is an uncut diamond worth at least £2,000. Now, find the thief, and this diamond is yours. Is it a bargain?
Yes.
Good. How soon can you begin?
I shall call on Mr. Grant tonight. It is cool here by the river, isn't it, Mr. Grant?
How did you know my name?
Oh, I have known it for a long time. My name is Rana.
I know.
I did not mean to disturb you, but for many evenings I have been watching you coming here to the same spot, alone.
One must get a decent breath of air sometimes.
I understand, because there is something here beside the breath of fresh air. When the purple dusk settles down slowly, as the sun goes to rest, then all of a sudden it is so dark that you cannot tell where the river ends and the jungle begins.
All tropical nights come like that. No twilight. Oh, how I hate it.
But the jungle is so alive, so like a big city.
What do you know about big cities?
I lived in them once. I was educated in England.
But you're not English?
No, only half. My mother was native. I have learned to love the noises of the jungle. Yet sometimes, when I remember my childhood, I want to leave it.
That's what I'm going to do. Leave it and never come back.
If you do not like this place, why are you here?
That is a subject I refuse to discuss.
Good night.
Don't go, please. I like to talk with you. You are so different from the other men here. It is nice to be with someone who thinks a woman capable of something besides being made love to.
Yet you seem to prefer that kind of company.
And you never took the trouble to find out whether I did or not.
Perhaps I prefer to be alone.
Don't you ever tire of your own company?
Oh, at times. When I do, I come down here and think. Think that in 3 months more I'll be going with that river, back to civilization.
You make me wish I were going with you.
But I thought you liked the jungle.
Don't you think that a woman, even such as I, grows tired of this life sometimes and longs for something better? Don't you ever think that I stand by this river like you and dream of what might be beyond?
If you have dreams like that, why don't you make them come true? Get away from this sordid existence.
That is just what I am planning to do.
Oh. I suppose it would take a considerable sum of money to turn your dreams into a reality.
No, my desires are very modest. A comfortable home, some beautiful gowns, a few jewels.
So, you're like all the rest. That's all women seem to think of. Beautiful clothes and silks and jewels. And most of them don't care how they get them.
That is not true.
Yeah.
After all, you men are to blame for our desire to make ourselves as attractive as possible.
And there are men that would lie and cheat and rob and even kill to deck their women out in ermine and glittering jewels to satisfy their selfish vanity.
Would you do that?
I'm not quite that big a fool.
I am so glad to hear you say that.
Men come out here to these camps and sweat and toil to find little stones. Other men toil and sweat that they may buy them. For what?
Diamonds are very beautiful.
Yes, beautiful and cold. Even the fire they give off in the sunlight is cold and hard, like the women who wear them.
How cynical you are. Perhaps sometime in your life, some woman for whom you cared a great deal must have been very cruel to you.
I'd rather not talk about it.
It is true, then?
Yes. It's true.
Oh, I am so sorry.
You needn't be. I don't deserve any sympathy. I came here hating the world and everybody in it. But since being with you tonight, I realize how wrong I've been.
And you believe now that all women are not like that?
No. Not all, Rana.
And perhaps you could learn to like me a little?
I could learn to like you more than a little.
Why were you so long?
I was detained at the compound.
Something is wrong?
No, everything is right. Think of it, Rana. I'm leaving tonight.
Tonight?
I'm going home to England. No more sweating over the sorting table. No more toiling all day in the heat. My 3 years are up today. I'll soon be back in Trafalgar Square, breathing in the good old English fog, cool and sweet. Back where there's music and laughter and life.
And you're really going tonight?
Just as soon as my luggage is ready.
Then we have only a little while longer to be together.
I'm afraid so. Why, Rana, what's the matter?
Nothing. Nothing at all. I just can't realize it's true that you are really going away.
But, Rana, you've known all along that I was planning to leave the moment my time was up. I've accomplished what I came here for. And the sooner I get away, the better.
And you are never coming back?
I never want to even hear of this place again.
Won't you ever miss anything or anyone here?
I shall miss you, Rana. Miss your wonderful comradeship and the glorious evenings we've spent together the last 3 months. But for you, I could never have endured it.
And yet, you are going away. Alone.
Why? Rana, I didn't realize it meant so much to you.
Oh, it didn't at first, but now. Oh, Roger, don't you understand? I love you. The only real happiness I have ever known has been here with you. And I cannot let you go out of my life like this.
And you love me like that. I wonder if you would still feel the same if you knew what I am.
No, no, I don't care what you are or what you've done. I love you.
And I love you too, Rana. More than I ever thought I could love any woman. But I've kept silent because of what I'm going to confess to you.
No, no, now, please don't tell me. I don't want to hear it.
But you must. Do you remember the story about my being clawed up by a leopard? Well, yes. That was a lie. There wasn't any leopard. I made those wounds myself with poison thorns. When the wounds healed, they left ugly scars, much the same as those made by a leopard's claws. After the wounds healed, I went back to the sorting room again. At first, I was examined carefully. Then they became careless. I watched my chance. Whenever I found a very fine stone, one that suited my purpose, I'd make a cut into one of the scars and conceal the diamond inside the wound.
But didn't the fresh wound excite suspicion?
To all appearance, there was no fresh wound. After the stone had been inserted in the cut, I carefully painted it over with collodion. And by the time they examined me, they only saw what appeared to be an old scar. Once outside, I took the first opportunity to remove the stones and cache them safely away. Recovering them from their hiding place is what detained me tonight.
And for a few diamonds, you took the risk of being sentenced to 7 years in prison.
It wasn't for the diamonds that I took the chance. That's only part of the story. I've told you how I became a smuggler. Now I'll tell you why. 5 years ago, back in England, my father was comparatively well off. I was an only son. I met a girl with whom I fell madly in love, and we became engaged. Shortly after, I went to Scotland for several weeks on a shooting trip. While I was away, Father met a man with whom he became very closely associated. When I was summoned home, I found that this friend had not only swindled Father out of everything he possessed, but had eloped with my prospective bride.
Oh.
Father died shortly after, and I set out to find the man and make him pay back at least a part of what rightfully belonged to me. With that one idea in my heart, I came to the Golconda.
The Golconda?
Yes. The man is here.
Here? You don't mean...
Yes. Haggart.
Oh.
Why? Rana. What's the matter? Why are you laughing?
Oh, the irony of it all.
Irony? I don't understand.
Of course you don't. Roger, I do have a confession to make. When first I came to you here, I was playing a game. I made love to you simply to gain your confidence. I was employed by Haggart to betray you.
You and Haggart? Rana, you couldn't do a thing like that. No, it can't be. I won't believe it.
Oh, don't you understand, Roger? I meant it when I said I loved you. I couldn't betray you now. Oh, I did long to go back to England, the same as you. And when I made that bargain with Haggart, I thought it was my one opportunity. But
oh.
Now...
If I could only believe you.
You can, Roger, now and forever. Your secret is mine. My lips are sealed. All I ask is that you take me with you.
Rana, how long will it take you to get ready?
I am ready now.
Then come. We are going home together.